Good morning. Good to see you on this middle of January. We're actually a little bit past the halfway mark in January. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty good about that. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not the train. So I'm sorry, January gets all my abuse. But anyway, it's a little bit like that overbearing uncle, you know. Just can you tone it down a little bit, January? You know, we don't need quite that amount of snow and cold, but anyway, we'll make it. Good to see you. Welcome to Grace Lutheran on this January 16th Sunday, the second Sunday of Epiphany. We're glad to be together in the sanctuary. We want to welcome you if you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online. Welcome. Good to see you. Just a few announcements before we get started. Now, if you want to take a look at the back page of the bulletin, today you're invited to a time of food and fellowship after worship. We always do that. It's always good to connect with one another. Tuesday, 3 to 4:30 p.m. I will not be here. I will be in Pelican Rapids doing worship services at Riverfront on Main and the nursing home. So Wednesday, 8 o'clock, we're continuing on with our Bible study, the Gospel of John. We take a 15-minute break, and then at 9:15, the Grace Prayer Group meets. So if you see a prayer card in the pew, feel free to fill that out, put it in the collection plate, and it will be prayed for. Wednesday, 10 a.m., I'm in an Augustana District Zoom meeting, so my door will be closed, and I'll be in there talking to myself. No, I'll be talking to, probably just listening. So anyway, and then 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday, Grace Youth, grades 5 through 12, meet for a meal, devotions, and games. It's always a good time, so we're excited about that. If you really want to feed the Foundry, this is a service opportunity. There's a sign-up sheet there, and this is kind of fun. Make food for 15 to 20 kids, and it's easy food. You know, I mean, mac and cheese, pizza. You know, it's these are kids. You know, and they love to eat, so we love to feed them. We have a good time. Thursday reminder: there's no Grace Lutheran Women this month. They take a break on January, so some birthdays. We will pray for you by name at the end of the service. Some service opportunities. We mentioned Feeding the Foundry, and then there's Sunday morning greeters if you want to do that. Next Sunday, January 20th, we're on our regular schedule with Sunday school confirmation, adult study at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. worship, 11 a.m. fellowship. And then as we look out to the end of the month, yippee, sorry, January 30th, 11 a.m., we have our Grace annual business meeting here. So we'll do worship, and then right after that, we do leave the doors open if you want to escape. But no, I'm just kidding there, too. It's usually a quick business meeting because we have a potluck meal following, so that kind of speeds things up. So, we won't be serving food until after the business meeting is over. So, again, there's an incentive to have a quick business meeting. So the council's done a great job of doing things, so it shouldn't take too long. So our January mission of the month is the Pelican Rapids Emergency Fund. What is that? The area churches contribute to a fund that's administered by the police department. So they use the fund wisely, and they're often in contact with people who have needs, and then they take care of them. If somebody needs a tank of gas or to be put up in a hotel for a night, you know, there's any number of things. And so we supply the police department with those funds to take care of those needs. And it's really a good thing. We're really blessed to have the police department we have in Pelican Rapids. They do a great job. So, and then some thank yous. Thank you to those who brought food and served it last Sunday. Thanks to the Grace Quilters for all your work on Monday and Tuesday and for feeding us men on Tuesday. And then we moved chairs and carpets were clean, so thanks to everyone who showed up to do that. And then thanks to Dwayne and Dennis Hybe for building that new storage cabinet for Rena in the office. She's got a little cubby now for all her different papers, and it's awesome. So it looks very nice, too. Any other announcements before we get started? All right. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Thank you.
morning. It's great to see you all. And as we enter into this time of worship, I'd like to invite you to join us in singing together the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, as seen on the screen.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save
worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 35:9. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you have shown your glory to us and led many to faith by the works of your Son. He has brought both gladness and salvation to those who are called by his name. Transform us by his Spirit, that we may live our lives by the power of his love and mercy. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to come forward as we turn to the hymn titled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's found in the blue hymnal, hymn number 771, or as seen on the screens.
Great is thy faithfulness. We connect with God's faithfulness every Sunday when we stand before him openly and honestly and confess our sins and receive his grace and mercy. Today we're going to use the format found in the blue hymnal, With One Voice. So if you want to use the book, we'll be on pages 10 and 11 on the right-hand column or just the screens. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that, attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow in the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness and life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's good news for us confessed sinners. Almighty God has had mercy on us and has forgiven us all our sins through Jesus Christ. May he strengthen us in all goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep us in eternal life. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as it's summarized in the ancient creed, the Nicene Creed, a creed from the First Ecumenical Council in 325 AD. Christians all over the world have recited this important statement of biblical faith for almost 1,700 years, in which all three persons of the Holy Trinity are confessed according to their true biblical definition. It's a little long, but it's worth the read. The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
Our reading this morning is from Isaiah 62, 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called a new name in the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be crowned of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongue. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit. But he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Prayers of the Church. Gracious God and Father, we pray for all who have wandered from the faith or who are in doubt or temptation. By your word and Spirit, open to them the way of return, that they may again find delight in you and walk again on the way of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Protect us, O Lord, from distrust of your fatherly care. When we become anxious about our earthly needs and direct us anew to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, the doing of your will, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
This morning, I'm happy to have Greg up here singing the song, Weave Me, Lord, together.
Lord, my life is like a weaving, and the weaver, Lord, is you.
Choose the many colors, spinning bright and dark ones too.
Dark ones too.
Carefully you weave the pattern, Lord, that you have planned. rest, Lord, in your hand.
So weave my life, Lord,
closer to you. See what you have done,
how you've overcome all the curse in the image of your Son, and I'll understand the dark threat,
Lord, that you have spun. But for now I trust you to
complete what you've begun. So weave my life, Lord,
closer to you. Chance my circumstance is in your hand. You fulfill your sovereign will, so I will let you.
Weave my life, Lord,
closer to you.
I'm so glad you were out plowing snow today, Greg. He drives grader, but they got it all done Friday, you said? All right. He didn't get called back in today, so we're glad you were here. So, well, we just rejoice today on this second Sunday after Epiphany of the goodness of what we see when we return to the manger in Bethlehem and peer at the Christ child, what God has given to us. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that, the Epiphany light. So, kids, if you want to meet me over at the table in the chair, I see Dacia is coming with the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total loss anyway. All right, good to see you guys. All right, so what do I have here?
A basketball.
And do you know that this is the basketball I used when I took the winning shot at the buzzer when the Timberwolves won the NBA championship? You're shaking your head. You don't believe that? Why wouldn't you believe that? Have the Timberwolves ever won a championship? No. All right. Did Brad ever play professional basketball? No. But I can dunk a basketball. Did you know that? You know, you're not believing that either. Okay, this is getting personal. I won't ask why. Anyway, I just told you a couple of whoppers, didn't I? lies. And there's a lot of lies out there in our world, isn't there? There's just a lot out there. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the sermon, but today we rejoice that when it comes to believing things, we don't have to doubt that God loves us, do we? He points to us the truth of God's heart and mind for us, that he loves us so much he sent Jesus to die for us. And so this is a God, when we pick up the Bible and read his promises, we can trust. And if we ever doubt God, we just look at this cross, don't we? Because we know he can be trusted. And that's a beautiful thing. We'll leave all our skepticism for the promises that we see out in our world. But when we pick up God's Bible and read of his love, we don't have to doubt that for a second, do we? We know when we look to the cross. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the promise keeper, that you steady us in this world with your sure and steadfast word, and that you always keep your promises. The cross is proof of that. So grant us faith, Lord, to walk by your truth in this world of frequent lies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All right, kids, thank you for coming up. Great to have you, and let's give them a hand for coming up here. Well, as we come before God's word, let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is spirit. Your word is sure. And your promises are kept. Thanks be to God. Amen. Got this email the other day. Auto renewal bill. Your subscription for Norton Protection has been successfully renewed and updated. The debited amount will be reflected within the next 24 to 48 hours on your account statement. Invoice number, blah, 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 product name, Norton. Boy, I read that and thought, $336.91 to renew my virus protection. Wow. I think I paid, what, 60. Then I realized I use Kaspersky. I don't use Norton. This is a fake. Well, yeah, we could go around the sanctuary, and I love the car warranty calls, you know. I lease. So I don't have a warranty on my car, you know. I lease my truck, Tacoma. I'm probably going to buy it when it comes off lease. I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, we just live in a, we swim in a pool of lies constantly. You know, it used to be that cell phones were pretty secure. We dropped our landlines. Remember that? Because of all the telemarketers. Boy, no. Several major hacks in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. Now we get them on our cell phones, don't you? How many of you get scam calls on your cell phones? Yeah, it's just, they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And so it leaves us feeling just so skeptical, doesn't it? We all live with the disappointment of unfulfilled promises. We hear promises, promises, promises all the time. And doesn't matter, you know, politicians get the brunt of this, but you know what, boy, we were just talking about coveting today and confirmation, and we talked about how advertisers, whether it's on television, radio, Facebook, Instagram, it's everywhere, their job is to make you dissatisfied with what you have, and that your life won't be complete unless you have their product. And so we're just swimming constantly in this sea of lies. It's everywhere. If you've ever loved someone with an addiction, you know what I'm talking about. Nobody lies like an addict. Nobody. They're so convincing because the addiction is, and they're not necessarily malicious, but the addiction is so strong, they just need to lie, and they'll tell you exactly what they think you want to hear. Okay? Now, having been burned by broken promises, we're just a bunch of skeptics now, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're skeptical of most promises. If we could trust our fellow man, would we need contracts? No, we wouldn't. But you know what? Even the contracts are broken, aren't they? Oh, yeah. How many of you ever experienced a broken contract? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, today we know from just our human experience that our world cannot be fixed by the power of human promises, because human promises have no power. But today, on this second Sunday after Epiphany, Jesus comes to us as the great promise keeper, the great promise maker, and then he keeps those. So as we take a big step back to see the big picture of the overall narrative of Scripture, we can see that the cross really is about God keeping his promises. The promise of a Savior was given to the very first sinners way back in Genesis 3:15. Old Testament scholars refer to this as the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, where God promised Adam and Eve that someone from their descendants would crush the head of Satan. God kept his promise to heal us and our fallen world by sending his Son to accomplish his reconciliation for us. Looking at the cross, we are assured that God is a faithful promise keeper. His word is sure. We can trust him despite our negative experiences of broken human promises. We don't want to put God on the same level as our fellow humans. That's a mistake. God is totally other. By Jesus' faithfulness, we have courage to live in this fallen world and God's assurance of a new one. Jesus, as the ultimate promise maker and keeper, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, the gospel text for this Sunday, Jesus begins his public ministry. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Yes, we heard it right. Poor, captive, blind, oppressed. That's how God saw us when he sent Jesus into our world. And he told Isaiah all about it 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because God from the very beginning has known about our need for a faithful promise keeper. Our need is because really our own unfaithfulness. Because of the fall, we are born sinners. That's the legacy of Adam and Eve to the whole human race. We are broken people living in a broken world. David, 1,000 years before the advent of Christ, said this in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's one of the chair passages in the doctrine of original sin. We are born sinners. It's who we are. Paul put it like this in Ephesians, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." That's the truth. of why we need a faithful promise keeper. It's quite the catalog of human issues that Jesus points to from the prophet Isaiah, isn't it? We see this in Luke 4:18. What a verse. It's all about our self-inflicted wounds. Our need is seen in the effects of human unfaithfulness. The trouble we see in our world is man-made. The human race is spiritually poor and does not value what God desires for his creation. This goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve tried to seize what only God could give them. They bit the apple and the lie of Satan that they would be like God, knowing good and evil, if they were simply eat of the forbidden fruit. The human race is spiritually captive to its selfish and short-sighted values. The human race is spiritually blind and cannot see its trouble or God as its help. The human race, and this is a powerful word that is used in the text, the human race is oppressed. Thrao is the Greek word used in verse 18. Literally means broken in pieces or shattered. We're not just cracked. We're not just chipped. We're not just dented or scratched. We are completely shattered. Drop a light bulb on a concrete floor. That's the mental image you have. You're not going to put it back together. So how can the shattered or the broken be fixed? The brokenness caused by human sin cannot be fixed like gluing broken pieces of china back together. We are shattered. Our brokenness is so thorough that we need a new creation. There is no quick and easy fix. The cross, you see, is evidence of that. Jeremiah said this about the state of the human heart: the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, the good news of the gospel today is that Jeremiah's question about the sickness of the human heart and who can understand it is answered in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate on this second Sunday of Epiphany. The promise keeper's new creation. Let's talk about that. Jesus took our spiritual poverty upon himself and exchanged it with his eternal riches given as a gift. He was a prisoner for us, suffering the penalty for our sin to set us free from death and judgment. And he has opened our blind eyes by the light of his truth and the power of his Spirit. And we can now see God's love and forgiveness in him. What an epiphany! That God loves me so much, he sent his own Son to save me. He has fixed our brokenness by creating a brand new relationship between God and us. He has literally clothed me with the robes of Jesus' righteousness. That's how God looks at the believer in Jesus, not as a sinner, but as someone who is as righteous as his own Son. Blows my mind to this day, but that's the truth of what Scripture teaches. So this is worth proclamation. This is worth proclaiming. Because of Christ, and only because of Christ's faithfulness, you are free from spiritual poverty. You are on a first-name basis with the Most High God and rich in his complete forgiveness and acceptance of you. In Christ, God is totally, 100% satisfied with you. You can't do any more to add to what Jesus has done for you. You are free from bargaining with God. Don't need to do that anymore. You are free to see things as they are because you see the truth of who God is. He has for you. He has forgiven you. End of conversation. You don't need to fake it with God. You don't need to bargain with him. As Gerhard Ferdi said, theologian of the cross says what a thing is. Call a spade a spade. That's why we do this every Sunday. That's our starting point. We gather together at the cross. We're all a bunch of confessed sinners, but God has forgiven us. What power. What love. You are free from being shattered. You are free to see yourself as a new creation, clothed in the robes of Jesus' perfect righteousness. And you're free from being captive. Values, you are free to live as God's beloved child. And you know what? You're free to love others this way too. That's the beauty of the gospel. To God be the glory. What an epiphany. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, epiphany is because of you, a celebration of the inextinguishable light of your gospel, dispelling our darkness. We celebrate today with great joy, for you are the light of the world, the King of all kings, the Lamb of God who has taken away our sin. Of the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end. We join wise men bowing and loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Even as we relish, rest, and rejoice in the epiphany, the revelation of your first coming, we crave the full epiphany of your second coming, when all things will be right, beautiful, and new. So very amen, we pray, in your triumphant and loving name. Amen and amen. A prayer by Scotty Smith. As we respond to God's goodness, you're invited to open up your blue hymnal to page or to hymn number 746, or just pay attention to the screens and let's sing Day by Day. Thank you.
Day by day, your mercies, Lord, attend me, bringing comfort to my anxious soul. Day by day, the blessings, Lord, you send me, draw me nearer to my heavenly goal. The divine beyond all mortal measure brings to loving will to God.
Please be seated. God has promised to listen to us when we pray. And he always answers our prayers. Sometimes the answers aren't exactly what we want, but we talked about that today in confirmation about coveting, that there's a difference between what we want and what we need. But let's bring our prayers to a loving God who's thrown open the doors of his heavenly throne room and invited us as his children to come in with our prayers. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your kindness, your goodness, your mercy, and your grace so freely bestowed upon us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, today, this week, we lay before you those who are celebrating birthdays. We pray your blessing upon Arlinda Tollefson, Emma Rasmussen, Jim Waters, Brad Winkles, Mindy Peterson, Dylan Peasley, Matthew Wright, Nicole Thorson, Molly Brayman. Lord, we pray that you would bless each of these with a profound sense of your goodness and your love for them on this, the week of their birthday. Lord, we also pray for those who are feeling unloved, isolated, lonely in this time of deep winter, in this time of pandemic, in this time of just living in a broken world with broken relationships. Lord, break through to each with a deep understanding of your love and your goodness for them. Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you, our own struggles, our own joys. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Draws to a close. I'd like to invite you to join the hymn. It can be found in the blue hymnal on page 780 or on the screen. It's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your Sunday morning with us. It's been a blessing to gather together, whether it's gathering together virtually or here in the flesh. Your presence is acknowledged. Thank you for being here. Would you please rise and receive the Lord's blessing today? May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious, faithful God.